Hi, folks. JT here from Sky Blue Radio. I am here with Taylor Broad. He is an incredible individual. If you haven't ever heard of Taylor Broad, he's done a little bit of everything from ESPN, media truck to all kinds of flight simulation stuff. And welcome, Taylor. I'm really glad that you're here, and you're all the way in Japan here, and here I am in the United States. What time is it over there? Because it's, what time is it? 2200 Zulu, I think, here. So what time would that be in Japan?
Yeah, that'd be 7 a.m.
7 a.m. Right, yeah. So you're just getting up and getting going then. Okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah. Coffee for sure. So, let's just kind of jump in here. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. You're involved in a number of incredible products, and hopefully we'll talk about most of them today. Can you kind of introduce yourself to the group and kind of tell us about how you got into flight simulation, and maybe briefly about Cardinal Horizon and how that started, and how you transitioned from flight sim development into flight sim development from the aerospace industry. That's pretty cool, by the way.
Yeah. So I have a life that has been jumping around to many different places. Just starting off, you know, when I first got, I started flight simulation as a child. My dad was a pilot.
Oh, cool. A commercial pilot
he's a commercial pilot. Nice. And he currently flies for a charter operator based in the United States.
Nice. I didn't know that. I've known you for years and I never knew that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit more of a recent thing. I basically grew up with flight simulation my whole life. And then, when I went to college, I then started a bit of software development, and then I, originally wanted to go for software engineering. But then
I can see you doing that.
Yeah. But then of course
you've got that geek phase of you.
Yes.
Don't we all, though? I guess that's true.
Yeah. But you know, the funny thing is that I did not do well in my engineering and science classes.
Oh, wow.
So I had to switch majors. And instead, I actually I graduated with a communication degree. And I always liked television and video production. So that's where that whole little ESPN component came in, where I worked on a ESPN production truck. Basically I did basketball, every single Florida Gulf Coast University basketball game from 2014 to about 2019. I've been a part of in some capacity, including floor camera work, which is really where I have let's see here. Then graphics, replay, audio, basically everything, and all the way up to a broadcast engineer, where I was actually running the truck itself. So, and then that was happening, and then I had I was doing flight simulation development, starting off with VAOS, VAOS.
Good. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah. Which was really my first foray into actually doing flight simulation development in some sense. So what that is, it's a virtual airline system, a very akin to PHP VMS. In fact, it was for the time, it was actually a pretty solid offering, in my opinion, but then I got really busy. That busyness, what happened in 2019 when I was at Flight Sim Expo. So that was the biggest.
Okay.
That was the biggest thing that happened to me was Expo. Back in 2019 in Orlando, I was I had my own booth there. Many people have come to me, it was absolutely fantastic to be able to meet everyone in the community and after being that person online for a very long time.
That's right. Yep.
And one of those people that came up to me was actually these people from Performance Software. And they are a, and Performance Software, they're a software engineering consulting firm. They're a engineering services firm, and they also have their own products for the real world aviation industry. And they were in town for a for another convention, and they decided to come, you know, to come to Flight Sim Expo to see what's on a whim, to see what's going on. And
yeah,
they came up to my booth. They saw what I was doing with the original Sim Vector, which was basically a live map for flight simulation. And, you know, where you can see, you know, taxiway diagrams and everything else. And they got really interested in that to the point where basically after I basically told them, hey, I just graduated college and, you know, I'm looking for a full-time job somewhere.
Right.
And and they were like, oh, yeah, here, here's our cards. And 2 months later, I moved out to Arizona to work for them for many years.
Wow.
Yeah.
How so cool is that?
Yeah. And yeah, worked there as a GIS analyst, got to work on some really incredible projects. You know, being able to work on a certified navigation data program. So it's, cause I yeah, love navigation data and all that.
Yeah. You're a geek, like, man. You're a geek.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. That's just, you can just see your passion in that's really cool. What,
yeah.
So speaking of Air Inc, what was that Air Inc 424 that I read about, an AIXM? I'm not sure how to
pronounce that. Yeah. So those are two aeronautical data formats.
Okay.
Air Inc 424, many people know that's the it's the navigation database that goes into the FMS.
Okay.
So everyone's navigation data from Navigraph that goes into their airplanes, that's all based on the Air Inc 424 format.
Okay.
And it's important to know. I love to tell this to people and like to understand to people, because Air Inc 424 is a transmission format primarily between the aeronautical service provider and the OEM.
Okay.
Raw Air Inc 424 does not go into the actual FMS itself. It's usually translated into binary form specific for the FMS software. So the and then wow. AIXM, yes.
Yeah.
AIXM is
very impressive stuff.
Yeah, aeronautical information exchange model. That is that's the new format that AIS departments, so aeronautical information service departments.
Okay.
Are you familiar with an AIP?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Yeah. So AIXM is the digital format of the AIP. It's a brand new digital format that's machine readable AIP that basically has all that data to be able to all the navigation data that you require to build these types of databases, maps, etc.
Yeah, and that's kind of similar to the whole Sim Vector thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very related. You know, especially where I want to take Sim Vector in the future.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So,
what can you tell us about Sim Vector?
So, Sim Vector was the original Sim Vector was built in 2019 when originally mapping for VA systems and stuff, and just mapping in general was very lacking, and it was a space where I could actually talk a little bit more about. It's one of those things where I can build upon. So I put up an original test product, you would say, of what that could be, you know, with the VATSIM live map, and it was very interesting in the sense, because I had data from OpenAIP. So you had actual air, you know, class Charlie, class Bravo airspaces, which I believe I was the only one to ever do that at the time. But
what kind of time frame? When was that? What year was that?
2019.
2019. Okay.
There, it's important to know that when I was doing, when I got that job at Performance Software,
yeah,
a lot of my priorities had to change. So, like,
I'm sure
Vows, had to fall by the wayside quite a bit.
Right.
Stim Vector fell by the wayside because it's my full-time job, and I can attest when you are doing something for your full-time job 8 to 5 every single day, every work day, do you really want to continue come home and do the same thing on
sometimes you need to take a break, so I can understand that
it was and then more recently when I relaunched the Stim Vector as a rebrand from a simple mapping product to a aeronautical data basically a data service for flight simulation. Because coincidentally, sim is in vector. If you're familiar with vector as a construct in C++ for data storage, that's good.
Keep going, man. You're teaching me some stuff.
So in
Stim Vector though, you can what kind of stuff are you offering there? I mean, I've played with it a little bit, from what I've seen, I love it. I love it.
So right now I started the people have the reason why it relaunched the way it did is because of a need, of course. People came to me, like some of my customers, for some of my modules and stuff for PHP VMS came to me, and they were like, oh, hey, we want airline routes. And they
That's
were
why like, I liked it.
Yeah. And a lot of, they weren't pleased with the current offerings on the market. So that's where I was like, okay, I can probably offer something unique. So mm-hmm. I basically relaunched a MVP just for airline routes. And to say it was very, I'm very gracious that it caught on the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's like, I'm trying to figure out like a good concept for people to acquire this data and how to manipulate this data. So I guess I should probably talk about a little bit more about how the service works, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's actually where I was going to ask you to go.
Yeah. So when so basically the way it works is that you can either get a subscription or you don't have to. You can purchase points individually, but basically run a point system. Because the way my pricing is, it's so cheap that I didn't want to like nickel and dime fees in a sense, because it's like so it's either $5 or $10 a month that gets you 5,000 or 10,000 points and reloaded monthly, and I basically do API calls to a data provider. And then it gets pulled, and the data gets pulled in your profile. And then what happens is, and this is that once you have the data in your profile, you can use my service to transform the data into whatever format you want. Right now, I only have one format, which is the PHP VMS format. Okay. But I'm also working on BAMSIS. I'm working on some other data formats. So that way people can use the service to directly transform the data into whatever format they need.
Whatever they want.
So it's so the idea is the workflow, and then this especially comes true when I get when I finish up the new re-architecture. The big thing is the new editor, and the new editor will allow you to it allows you to edit the data on the platform, bring in your own data. And it's really, Stim Vector is I'm trying to push it towards the aeronautical data editing side. Not going to say too much about that.
I was like, oh boy, you just opened a can of worms.
and it's not because I don't want to. It's especially since I know that this is something that I can provide. It's a very unique offering.
And it's cheap.
Know, based on my professional, well, it's also based on my professional experience too.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come across that the product is cheap. I'm just saying it's cheap because back in the old days, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, a lot of stuff for a flight sim was, was free, And now there's people that have products out there that charge an arm and a leg for their products, $100, $150, whatever, for software. And it's just not like it was back then. So that's what I mean. When I say $5 or $10, I'm like, that's a decent price for flight simulation. You know what I mean?
So, well, yeah. And then you have to consider too, like, especially with the amount of points I give people, the idea I wanted to do with this $5 or $10 a month is like, is give people the ability to have the freedom to, because airline schedules update monthly.
Yeah.
They are constantly changing. So giving them and not actually keeping it as close to at cost as possible. I think it's just nice to have.
I agree with that.
And people have come to me with data quality issues. I am aware of the data quality issues. The way I launched the service too was it was a minimum viable product for people for a very specific set of PHP VMS virtual airlines. Mm-hmm. But as I rebuild the platform, as I build, because once you grow from an MVP to to a full blown application where I want to go in the future, you have to build up the platform in a way that on a rock solid foundation. And with that new, I am looking at new data services, or new data providers, to improve that foundation. For example, I don't have cargo routes.
I didn't even think about that.
I don't.
Because I was looking at the passenger stuff, United Airlines and stuff like that. And I'll be honest with you, that was the first one I looked at when I was horsing around with this thing, and I was just very impressed with how you took all that data and put it together and made it importable into some other products. So that was really, really cool. So good job for you. Good job. Yeah. Good job on you. You've got a subscriber now. That's for sure. Another one. Thank you. So that's pretty cool. Keep it up. What else do you want to tell us about with SimVector?
So of course, in the next couple of months, I mean, especially since I'm, I think a lot of people know I'm also, on staff at TFDI.
Yeah.
My apologies to the SimVector guys. I'm, to my fans over there. I am working on the MD-11 trying to get that finished up.
Sweet.
But once the MD-11 is over the finish line and stuff, and we're
when do you think that MD-11 will be done? Do you think next week or tomorrow, or when do you think that'll be? Do you have an exclusive that you want to share on Skyblue Radio? Good man, yeah, good man.
Colin would kill me.
yeah, and actually, a lot of those products over at TFDI. In fact, all of them are very impressive. It's pretty cool that and FS Passengers and their virtual airline system that you're a huge part of. You want to talk about that at all?
So basically, my role at TFDI is like, let me talk real quickly about the SimVector stuff that, and
sure.
then we'll get those.
Sure. Back. Yeah, whatever you want.
Upcoming to SimVector, I do have a desire to get back into mapping. So, so you're going to see a mapping product from me. And then I do have some innovation inside the airline schedule space.
Okay.
That will that'll be very exciting. So those are two very unique things for SimVector that will be coming up very soon.
What kind of mapping? Anything you can share on that or no?
You're just teasing me, aren't you? No. I'll share a little bit.
Okay.
So the big thing with the SimVector map previously was like, oh hey, you know, the I was using a lot of other people's data sources.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at relaunching the SimVector map with all my own data.
Okay. Good.
So you're going to get especially where I'm hosting the data too. So I have my own custom tile server I'm deploying to be able to serve map tiles. I have my own custom data sources to pull down pull VORs, waypoints, airways, all that stuff into the map itself.
Navigational data.
Yeah, actual navigation data. All on my own stack.
That's pretty cool. Would that compete with any current provider of navigational data?
Possibly. That's pretty cool. But you know, we'll see where that takes us.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Good for you.
And it just builds on my professional experience I've been fostering for the past 5 years of working for an actual navigation data provider in the real world.
Right. And actually, that's kind of what I was just going to ask you is how did that aerospace work influence your flight sim products? And it sounds like it's really, pushed you. Yeah. It's pushed you more.
There's like a certain understanding when you work for once you work for a data provider like Performance Software. Mm-hmm. Just to clarify, you know what product I worked on over there. That are you familiar with a AMDB at all?
I am not. No.
Okay. All right. So what? Do you know, like, when you zoom in on Navigraph charts, you have Navigraph charts?
I do.
When you zoom in on airport, you see the diagram.
I do.
So that diagram is basically an AMDB.
Okay.
And at Performance Software, they had the accuracy of the AMDBs were submeter. So if you know what a meter is, it's like, I guess this.
That's about right. Yeah, that's about right.
the corner of pavement or something was within was certified.
Okay,
that's the big thing. Certified to be within a certain within 1 meter.
Okay,
interesting. So, when you work for a company like that, you will have you're going to pick up a lot of the, you know, of how to ingest your data, how to check for errors in your data, how to ensure data quality, throughout that whole process. And that understanding of, especially the data formats themselves, because I worked on, the aeronautical side. So the airborne navigation stuff. So ARINC 424 AIXM for 5 years, understanding those data formats, understanding how to acquire the data, that all that knowledge obviously will feed back into these products.
That's actually a good question. How does your work at Performance Software? How does that work? How did that kind of set you up for flight simulator data, and how is that manageable?
Well, so there's two senses. One is we'll talk about the software development side. When you're working on software development, there's two sides. One is software, the other is data. So first we'll talk about software because, hey, software is really cool. There's a software development standard in flights and in real world aviation especially for testing software, is DO-178. Mm-hmm. Basically the idea of DO-178 is for you to have traceability to requirements. Okay. So when you write software in aerospace, you course have requirements you have to write that software to and also test your software against. Depending on the type of system you're working on, you're going to have different levels of traceability. So for example, I worked on an FMS for a major the testing of an FMS for a major aerospace manufacturer.
Cool. Cool is that?
Yeah, it's very fun. It was genuinely a fun project. I want to see if I can be able to do that again sometime soon. Yeah. But back to the point, an FMS is a level B system. So you have to have high level and low level requirements. So you have to prove that your source code traces to these individual requirements. And then those requirements are then, and then you have to test your source code against those requirements with, but you're not testing the source code in like unit testing. You're doing like full up black box testing. So you're basically feeding data in to that little black box, and then you're mm-hmm. checking if the data is outputted correctly.
Okay.
I might be going way too deep into the weeds.
No, you're good.
Go ahead. This is like it's the first time really explaining it like this. But yeah, so you go into those so what I learned from that is that, you know, you can apply certain requirements based testing, paradigms and other types of development standards mm-hmm. Into flight simulation development at a cost of, and, you know, understanding what you need and what you don't need, you can work on it as a cost effective manner that allows you to maintain quality while at, you know, avoiding regressions as much as possible. That's something I'm still trying to, and that's of course an end goal. You know, you want to make sure you have good software quality. At the same time, you want to make sure that, you know, but, mm-hmm. Because here's the thing, they're coding. It's like many ways of slicing a cake where you're doing software development. You can do something five different ways. There's the quick and dirty way. There's the tried and true safe method. You know, there's like multiple different ways of doing something. And it depends on at that point, like what your skill is and then what, how much time. Mm-hmm. Time is very valuable. You know, we always see like add-ons are, you know, add-ons get delayed. I'm not speaking about anything, you know, about TFDI, the MD-11 getting delayed or anything at mm-hmm. all about that. But, you know, because that has its own
it happens with all kinds of software. But yes, so it's not
including in the professional world. I've been on programs that were like, hey, we're going to be done in 2020.
Yeah. 2025. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're
kind of like Boeing aircraft. What's that? The what's that new freighter they got coming out?
You're talking about the 777X is the big one that got delayed.
That's the one that I think that they're testing now, but they said that it wouldn't be ready for a couple more years or something like that, and they've been working on it for a long time. It's just one of those new projects like you're talking about that is very involved and is constantly evolving.
And the big thing, and the big thing of note, and this is not to, of course, you know, I'm I play in that world. So I of course wish my colleagues at Boeing and stuff a very good luck, and everything else. A big thing I can tell you from is like the standards for software development and these standards, and why it takes so long for a project now, especially when you say like, hey, a whole entire program done start to finish was like 5 years back in the 1970s, 1980s, is safety.
Yeah, that's true.
It all boils down to safety. I mean, all this stuff is written in blood, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you have, that you have exceptionally safe products. And so when a program is delayed, I have a lot more confidence in flying on that airplane at the end of the day.
Makes sense. Yeah, makes sense.
All right. And for you guys in the flying public, that's that's what I would say is one of the bigger things too, is safety.
Yeah. That's a huge deal.
Yeah. And you, so to pull it back up for a second, I also brought up, what I'm taking from, is data. So pulling it back up to mm-hmm. data, from my, previous job. I mean, the understanding of these specific data formats, I can, because of the professional experience, I hope I can provide very unique products, data products, data services, to both end users as well as add-on developers. I'm not going to talk too much about what I'm going to be doing because I don't know really if it's going to stick or not, because I'm not going to announce something or talk about something that is not going to happen. But yeah.
It can be kind of rough in the flight sim world when you mention something and it doesn't go through with it. A lot of the people out there are pretty ruthless, you know.
Yeah, I will tell you, like, throughout this whole interview, I've been like very careful of, am I going to say something I'm going to regret later? Yeah. but really that's anyone that's passionate in this community. The passion for this community is incredible.
It is. It's very impressive.
So, and I don't want to get in the way of that passion. Yeah. What I do want to be is realistic for, especially for anyone that comes, and comes to me for any of my projects or any of my solutions. I'm going to treat you, ideally, I want to treat you like a stakeholder, like you're my boss, because that's what customers are at the end of the day. So
that's pretty much true.
But at the same time, I can't like divulge everything, right. I can't divulge like this challenge here or this challenge here, because some people understand it. A lot of people don't.
A lot of people don't. That's exactly right.
I'm approachable, I'll be honest. I'm not going to twist the truth into my favor.
That's good. And a lot of people respect that. So, yeah. so good for you on that. What about, other one that we were going to talk about? PHP, VMS?
You were talking about PHP VMS, but we got sidetracked. You want to ask me about the TFDI stuff?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Anything you want to share with us about that? You're certainly welcome to.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously my role at TFDI is developer relations. So my goal with developer relations is to be able to provide assistance for our platforms. Mm-hmm. Like for example, Smart Cars is a software platform.
Yes, very cool. Very cool program, by the way. You guys out there, if you've never checked out Smart Cars, you definitely need to check that out. We use it. You can listen to Sky Blue Radio on it. That's That in itself is incredible. So, but if you haven't checked it out, it's a very, very cool program. I use it every time I fly. So, sorry to interrupt you there. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, no, no. It's good stuff. I was about to say the, it's basically if you've ever flown for a virtual airline or a virtual community that's used, for example, Sky Blue Radio's virtual community, which I had the pleasure of setting up a couple
yes, you did. Ago. Yeah.
There's SmartCars is a tracking client that allows you to connect your flight sim to those online communities. It's very similar to Volanta. It's similar to, you know, the other things. But what makes SmartCars really unique, especially for my role as dev relations, is that it's a platform. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people know of it as an end user software. But when you get to the platform aspect, it's where developers can build plugins to be able to customize SmartCars into whatever they want for their organization.
Yeah.
For example, one of the things I actually did on my own is built a weather plugin to be able to show the weather.
Remember that.
The cyclone weather plugin.
That is very cool.
And then there's other.
There's a cabin crew one, and I can't remember what the other one is off the top of my head.
There are a couple plugins out there, and so that's where that as a platform is you get into that side. So that's one thing I'm doing. Supporting other developers and getting, you know, and championing the platform. That's one thing I'm doing at TFDI. The other thing too, I'm working on is the MD-11. And the URL there, that's for SmartCars Pro. So we have Community and Pro. I should point that out. SmartCars community is for people that are virtual airlines that want to start their own community and group people together. And then SmartCars Pro is an extension of that for pilots to be able to, have their, logbooks stored in the cloud, basically. Right. And then also, if they don't have a community, they can also hit the fly on their own option and then be able to we have a job simulator, a job generator in there. We have a bunch of really cool little unique things in there. Obviously, just check out the product pages. And then, of course, so back over to that MD-11.
Yes.
So I'm not going to speak too much about it because, you know, it's not my, these are not my products. I mean, I'm working with TFDI on it, there is no B. Like,
okay.
my mind, like, you know, especially in this You're interview okay. mode, you know, it's like, oh,
yeah.
That's going to be memed to hell at this point if it's like the.
That's right. Yeah, we were just talking about that a little while ago, weren't we?
Yeah.
So, what can you tell us about the MD-11 for? I think it's for 2024, right?
2020 and 2024. So, what I will say is, I'm not going to divulge anything new, the one thing I am working on is the what are called model behaviors. If you're okay. familiar, if you've never heard of that, you know, like whenever you click on a gauge or something on or you click on a switch or you rotate a knob or you see your yoke moving, those are all model behaviors. For the longest time, up until very, very, very recently, it's not in the CE builds just yet. It's in our QA builds. I redid the whole interaction system for the aircraft to bring it up to 2020 and 2024 standards.
Sweet. Cool.
Yeah. So that was my, especially with the help of some of our QA testers, especially Killian. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah. How long did that take you to do? Because it sounds like it was a rebuild, right? So how long did that all take you?
So the rest of the, I can't talk about the rest of the art team because I don't know how much they've been working on it. I know my specific component, I spent basically the last month-ish, from starting from completely zero of not knowing anything about aircraft development to having something that were sent to the QA team. Yeah. About a month and a half.
Nice.
So it's, but yeah, well, my hope is that, especially with the interactions, you'll be able to click and drag knobs, you'll be able to do that, all those fun, very unique things that,
the COM2 to 1.2.3.4.5, would SkyBlue Radio start to play?
Man.
I guess that's a no. Well,
no, but I mean, I can tell you how you can do that on your own. Because my role is dev relations, I can tell you how to do that.
Yeah, see? That's why I like you. You're very, very smart. I like that.
I mean, just to tell you how you can do that. I mean, you can listen for the simulator variable for that on the COM2 stack. And then if you have software listening to it, then, like, for example, you can build that into smart cars, for example, make a smart cars plug into, connect to the flight simulator and listen for that COM2 1.2.3.4.5. And then all of a sudden, once that background says, oh, hey, you're on that frequency, yeah. You can fire an action to start playing the thing.
Wow.
Or open a web page or,
listen to man. You love your stuff, don't you? You just love what you do. You can see in your face and the passion that you talk about. Let me ask you this. What is your favorite, I can't believe I get paid to do this moment?
You've
been around for a while and you've got your feet into a lot of different things. So what would be your, I can't believe I get paid to do this.
I think it's just being able to work in flight simulation and actually get paid, especially since it's a hobby since I was like age of four.
Yeah.
That's kind of, it's like one of those things, like you never expect to get paid to do that. It's like, I mean, the other thing too is like my professional aviation work, like I was like, oh wow, I to be paid as a navigation data expert, I think anything that you do as your hobby and then you realize like, oh wow, I can't believe I'm actually paid.
Is always a good thing. What kind of stuff do you enjoy when you're not doing aviation software type stuff?
Oh wow. So when I was doing so of course I have a wife and child. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. that takes up a lot of my time. That's also the reason, part of the reason why I'm actually here in Japan is, cause my wife is Japanese. So it was a lot easier for me to move here than it was for her to move to the US, just from a paperwork standpoint and all that or fun stuff. So I have that, of course. And then, I haven't done it recently, but I play additional simulation games. Like for example, I play Train Sim World.
That's a pretty cool game. I like that. The other one I've gotten into, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but,
of course
it's called the Fly By. Oh, it's called Into the Flames. It's called Into the Flames. It's a firefighting game.
Oh wow, that looks like a really fun one.
Yeah, it's kind of different. But anyway, that's cool. What about let me ask you this. If you had unlimited resources, you know, Bill Gates or any of those rich guys gave you unlimited resources, what is your dream project for the Flight Sim community? What would you want to do for us?
Well, if I had unlimited resources, it would be I think that's a really tough one because the first thing I think of is what has something not been done before that I can make something truly impactful.
Yeah, you need
because I also look at this realistically too, like. if I'm given like insurmountable amount of resources, I still want to use those resources effectively too. Right. You know, I'm not going to spend it on some not to say anything in Flight Sim is a vanity project, but you know, like something like that is like that. Yeah, could I spend it on an airplane? Yeah, I could spend it on an airplane, but I mean, like, well, there's a lot of other people that spend it on airplane. You know, it's like, what can I do that that would effectively, you know, make use of unlimited resources? I don't know yet.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're just getting started with the projects you got going now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe that's just a start for you. But what can you tell us about PHP VMS?
So PHP VMS was back in the it's a virtual airline system. Now after I sort of shelved VAUS, I started contributing to that project. It's basically allows for people, it's an open source virtual airline management system that allows for people to set up their own communities. And it's of course compatible with smart cars. I will say too, just for the TFDI plug there, there is a VA hosting package which allows for you to have PHP VMS and smart cars, as well as smart cars pro for a really nice bundle deal.
So yeah, and like you were talking about with SimVector earlier, it's cheap. You know, it's only I think it's only like $10 a month for a VA package, and that's awesome. I'm really glad that CPI does that. I don't think there's any other organization that does that VA hosting type stuff with PHP VMS or any of that in smart cars too. So
because it ties back into SimVector, because SimVector, as well as I have a couple other like modules and stuff that that work with PHP VMS. I have that whole SimVector direct delivery system, which I've advertised, which basically allows for people, if you're a subscriber of SimVector, it will automatically send the airline data directly into your PHP VMS install.
That's awesome.
No need to deal with spreadsheets anymore, which is like,
somebody like me that's not smart like you, that's an incredible, incredible pain that's off of my back. You know what I mean? So that's really,
And like I said, there's more innovation to come. I'm keeping a couple of things close to the chest. Like I said this in the interview, in email to you a little bit earlier, and I'll say it here too. Sure. Like there were, if I had the time, I would have had demos and stuff ready to go to show off, you know.
Well, you can do that next time you come back. No big deal.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no big deal.
I love to show people what I work on.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the stuff that you've talked about just during this interview has been very, very impressive. And I know for, for me, I'm pretty excited about it. I've already gotten to toy around with a couple of your products, and I'm like, wow, how cool is that? You know what I mean? So that's very cool. And it, for the folks watching and listening to this, you know, Taylor talked briefly a little while ago about it. He set up Sky Blue Radio's system because we have our own virtual airline now, Sky Blue Radio Airlines, and we wouldn't be where we are now if it wasn't for the help of Taylor, because he's smart and I'm not, and that's just really cool. So I really appreciate your hard work on that. I really do appreciate that.
You're smart in your unique way. You know, you built an entire radio station.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. It's not just me though. There's all kinds of people that are involved in that. So that's pretty cool.
No, you're also, I was about to say too, your brilliance doesn't stop there too. You know, you're a brilliant interviewer.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. What else do you want to share with folks? What do people want to hear? Do you think? I mean, you're out there on the flight sim blogs and in Discord channels and stuff like that. I see you all over the place. So you're in the know. What else would you want to show?
I'm definitely in the know. I don't know. I don't know if I want to get into the, it's kind of fun. Like when, have you ever, just talking to you, of course, you know, mm-hmm. have you, you know, when we're,
you got this.
No, I understand. Sorry. I should point out to people if you don't know me, I'm also on the autism spectrum, but you know, so sometimes you get those reactions from me, because I'm thinking about something and then I'm trying to catch myself.
Yeah, and the other thing too is being a programmer the way that you are. Your brain is constantly moving and what if I do this and what if I do that and why did it do this? And you're constantly doing that diagnostic kind of thing. So sometimes your brain locks up, and it happens to me every day at work. That's for sure. Oh, so yeah. I completely understand. Yeah. But what else would you want to share with the flight simmers?
Let's see here. I don't know if who knows. I'll say this when, because you see my media background and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe starting up a flight simulation Twitch channel or something. I don't know. Here's the thing. Like when I like doing this a lot. I like this experience a lot. You know, being able to
talk about it.
But at the same time, like, I'm like, I want to teach people certain things. It's like so hard to do, but yeah. In a sense too, it's also very hard to do. Like, for example, when I was, when I work on projects, mm-hmm. like, especially if it's for other people, like, I can't share that, you know,
That's a great idea, Taylor, that you brought that up, because it goes back to what we're talking about just a couple minutes ago about you helping us at Sky Blue to set up our own virtual airline. I mean, we were out. It was 10 o'clock at night my time, but you remoted in and we shared screens there and you showed me a lot of stuff. So I can imagine how that would be for you on Twitch. You should, if you have the time, you should really consider that. I think that'd be cool. I would watch it.
Or me just approaching how I handle a flight. Like, for example, I was thinking, you know, especially with the analog Bonanza and the analog Baron, you know, professional, the new Just Flight products, which are fantastic, I was thinking about doing a flight around the whole United States.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. That would be a long flight, that's for sure. Because I know I just did a world flight. What was that, last week or week before? And I flew around
last week.
The world, and that was a lot of flying. I had a good time though, but I can't imagine what it would be like in a Bonanza or something like that. That would be.
Well, I'm specifically saying the continental United States. I haven't thought of like doing the whole going. Oh,
okay,
the whole
I misunderstood
world.
You. Okay.
Yeah. Just doing the continental United States. So going up and up to Alaska.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
So yeah, Alaska, Canada, and then back through. And the reason why I want to do that is because the navigation data. In the US is the most available that you have across all of the world. As far as like availability of certain pieces of data. There's no like licensing fees for getting that data. So like, for example, one of the things I do a lot of is respect the rights of, especially, you know, developers, like, for, especially in the professional aviation industry, for example. Sure, I have Navigraph charts, but I don't want to show a Navigraph chart on, you know, stream, because of course that's a copyrighted product of Jepson. You know, what I want to do is be able to teach and be able to give people like someone, especially if they're like, you know, if they're a kid, you know, like age four, like I was, and just starting out, I want to be able to give them. Yeah. Someone that doesn't have the money, that wants to get into this hobby, that, or they're like, oh, hey, I got this, I have an Xbox, and I got this on, you know, on the Xbox. I want to be able to at least do something that allows for them to be able to, get that. And then the other thing too is, you know, I'm a software engineer. Doing streaming. You can figure that I can probably make some custom streaming graphics that really do some really crazy.
You're making my wheels turn here, so I'll be sending you messages here shortly. Hey, can we do this? What if we did that? That'd be pretty cool.
I will say, back in the day in 2019, I had a concept or something. I don't know when you know Pete Wright, you know Frugal Sim. Back in the day,
I do.
I was in one of his Flight Sim Expo videos, and I showed off to him. I actually had a concept where the streaming graphics actually. Everyone knows the overlay at the top, right?
Right.
The streaming overlay, everyone does. Well, my overlay was very contextual based on the phase of flight. And also what you were doing. So, for example, when I ran up, when I turned on my landing lights for takeoff, it actually dropped down. It did a slide down with my V speeds. And then it showed as I was progressing through the speeds, they all got ticked off.
Why don't you make that available now?
It's because... time, but also but on a more serious note, it wasn't a time issue. It was actually more of a, I did this as a minimum viable product that was not flexible enough for a general public consumption.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So it was of a tech demo rather than an actual like, but I mean, if people are interested in that, and like really contextual based stream graphics, to really, you know, boost your flight simulation, you know, streaming capabilities to bring it up to like the standards of like that I'm used to with storytelling, with, you know, that was the other thing. Like I like telling stories. I've come up with a slogan myself, telling stories one broadcast at a time. but that's like, you know, stream graphics are a storytelling vehicle. Okay.
Oh, that's not the one I wanted. Oh, there we go. I was trying to find that. Oh,
well. Got soundboards. So stream graphics are a storytelling vehicle. Okay. When you look at like live streams and in general, some people are able to do the entertainment side, which is what makes them good. What I see in a stream is what's the narrative. Mm-hmm. Especially if something is something I'm hosting or if it's a broadcast production I'm doing, because I had a lot of esports experience as well, doing Super Smash Brothers streams and stuff. And I'm always like when you're doing through a tournament or anything, what's your narrative? Yeah. And as you craft your narrative, then you build graphics, you build stuff to support the narrative, so that way it's a better storytelling vehicle. Yeah. It's the same thing, like, a stats pop at the bottom, at the bottom left of your screen right over here, versus a scoreboard right here. They're storytelling vehicles. So, like, what can you provide to the information? It's also, like, for example, at the start of a broadcast, like a basketball broadcast, for example, you might have like the keys to the game, what are the narrative points of like what are the items required for a team to achieve victory, what did they so it's like those storytelling elements, it keeps people attached. And I'm still trying to figure out like and it's probably because I don't watch other people's flight sim streams. I probably should do a little bit more of that. But like for me, I want to try to figure out what I can do for a storytelling narrative, or what I can do that is educational for me to be able to go do live streaming.
I think I got a job for you, Taylor. We'll talk offline.
we'll definitely talk offline. Do you know back in the day I do music too. Mm-hmm.
I remember you were interested in Sky Blue Radio at one time.
Yes, I was. And I actually DJ'd for Jetstream.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did DJ for Jetstream for a couple months.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Well,
yeah. Yeah,
you've got home here.
Oh,
so but we'll get together offline.
Definitely.
That's pretty cool. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's 7 o'clock in the morning there, and please tell your bride and your kid I appreciate them sharing you with us. We look forward to you coming back and talking about what you've accomplished with all of these projects. I'm pretty excited. So thank you again. And we'll talk again soon, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.